Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
Well, guys, we have farmers markets that are still ongoing across the region. Of course, the one that the Master Gardeners are involved with is the Artovinos Market in Sunland Park, New Mexico. And there are still garden talks taking place every Saturday morning
at 8:30.
And hopefully we'll have a September schedule here on our Good to Grow page here soon to find out what topics are coming up.
Exactly. We had a container gardening with fall color this morning.
And that farmer's market is going to be ongoing through mid-October. And I believe that's pretty much when all the farmer's markets in the region are going to be wrapping things up. So they're still going strong at Artovinos. They're going strong at the artist market downtown up in Las Cruces at the Mountain View Market. And Bill?
Well, I was going to say, Robert Artovino is talking about doing this, extending the season.
Oh, that would be great.
And he's trying to encourage people to participate in extending the season.
So I guess if people are interested in maybe learning a little bit more, of course, call the Artovinos Desert Crossing there in Sunland Park. And I have the contact information on our website at ktep.org on the Good to Grow page. And something coming up in October, Bill, you told me you were actually kind of interested in this one, that the Mountain View Market is going to be sponsoring. It's a vermiculture workshop on Saturday, October the 5th, and that is all about composting with worms. You're going to learn how to recycle kitchen waste, how to take care of your worms, create a healthy habitat for them. It's October the 5th, $15 if you're a co-op member, $20 if you're not a member. Space is limited and registration is required. So you can visit our Good to Grow page at ktep.org for more, or you can give us a call here at 880-KTEP to find out a little bit more about that upcoming workshop.
Right. Worms are an interesting thing. They seem so natural to me and they evidently people that have done it. I've never done it, but I'm anxious to learn about it, and maybe we can do a little carpool to Las Cruces that day. So that's looking forward to signing up for that.
And that's always a good sign that your soil is really healthy.
Right.
A lot of times we think, oh, we need to add compost, and how do we do that? And generally our soils are so poor. Poor is an organic matter. So it really is important to compost and have those composting worms in there also helping break down that material to make it available to the plants, and not just stocking your soil with earthworms, bringing in earthworms, it's retaining them.
Exactly.
It's the same thing as bringing in another beneficial insect like ladybugs. No sense to buy ladybugs or any kind of beneficials. Create the habitat or create the environment to retain them in your garden. It'll pay you tenfold.
Yes, absolutely. I was doing a little turning of some dirt over the last week, and I noticed I've got quite a few worms in the soil, so I feel good like I'm doing some good. But we have some new turtles that live in the garden, and it started to rain the other day, and the worms came out of the ground, and the turtles were in heaven. So I'm not sure if we're going to retain those turtles for very long.
Right.
Which is more important, the reptile or the vermiculture?
Well, another thing that I think some moist soil has sort of given up is mushrooms in certain cases. And I know, Bill, the Master Gardener Hotline has gotten a few phone calls that have to do with topics resulting from some of the rainfall that we've received lately. Some people are seeing fungus outgrowths in mushrooms.
It really is amazing what the rain has produced, and we get various calls, and the people describing them are describing all kinds of shapes and colors and sizes, and I'm going to defer to Denise in the explanation of why we have so many and what to do about it.
Right, and I completely agree, and the actual descriptions of the fungus are quite interesting. Everybody has a different take on them. Mm-hmm. I've heard them described as a mixture of sheetrock and bird droppings. And, you know, in all different colors and sizes and shapes. And if it looks like a fungus, it is going to be a fungus. We have our traditional cap mushrooms that are really, you know, obvious to identify. But some of them come in other shapes with more of a flat top and more of a spreading size. And really the important thing to remember is that these spores, these fungal spores, live in the atmosphere. They live in the soil. They are in the air all the time, and it just takes a little bit amount of humidity to get those spores to sprout. And when they do, it's very obvious because it seems like they almost grow overnight.
Yes.
And you kind of look out your back window and you see all of everything popping up, and there's nothing to be alarmed with. It's very difficult to identify each of them down to the specific species. But we'll be happy to look at your pictures and listen to your descriptions of that. And the best thing to do is to remove them. You want to remove them before they mature, obviously, because then they're going to release a whole new batch of new spores and keep it into your lawn. And I don't know if you've noticed, Bill, but if you do have these fungus sprouting out, it's always kind of in the same location in your yard.
Yes,
it's never, you know, one year it's in the backyard and next year it's in the front yard. It's always kind of in the same little location.
Right.
You also don't want your pets or your children to play with them. So just get them out of your yard. And that's just the best way to treat these fungus. And unfortunately, it's just because we've gotten rain on top of our irrigation system. So it's definitely the right environment for this to grow.
So what about maybe you don't have a mushroom growing, but maybe you just have sort of like this splotch, this white splotch that you might have growing on your lawn or on your chat. What do you do about that? Can you just sort of scrape it off, or do you want to just rinse it off with a hose, or is there some sort of an antifungal thing that you can spray on it? What's the best?
Yeah, the best thing to do is just physically remove it from your yard. If you tend to spray it, you're just going to use the water that you used to spray it. It's going to act as a carrier to the other parts of your lawn. And then there's really nothing out there that's going to quote unquote kill your fungal spores. It's really going to be effective as just pulling that out of your yard.
And I think a lot of the rain has brought out quite a few, I wouldn't say pests, but maybe just insects. Bill, you were talking about the tortoises and and the worms. And I remember, was it a year or two ago, Bill, that you and I were talking about these crazy little garden bugs that we'd be seeing in our yard.
Yes.
They're sort of blackish when they mature, but mm-hmm. they're reddish when they're young. And I guess they're kind of like the garbage disposal of your yard. And I can't even imagine how many I have. I probably have thousands of them. And I think it has to do with a soapberry tree that is in my yard, and those little bugs just love to attach themselves to the seeds and just, I guess, suck all the nutrients mm-hmm. out. And you can see them crawling all up and down the trees. And if you look on the ground, you don't see the individual bugs. You literally see just the ground just in motion because of all
it's
the bugs
so many.
That are there.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because we did get a call at the garden center about that specific on a soapberry tree. And we weren't sure, the people who took the call weren't sure, and so they actually Googled soapberry bug, and they came up with this box elder bug. And this time of the year, it's just a major infestation, but for some reason, they really like the soapberry. But they are located other places also, but soapberries seem to be kind of like home base.
They don't seem to be doing any harm.
No.
They're just having a good time,
right?
So I just sort of leave them alone. It's kind of sad, though, when it's time to mow the lawn, they sort of make their way all around the yard. So
Yeah. Right. We
have a few casualties along the way. But that's just one of the many, I think, pests that people might find in their yard resulting from the rain. And Bill, you said you also received another call about somebody who had some unusual bugs on one of their trees.
Right. We're still researching that problem, but somebody had a bug that we weren't familiar with from the description on a mulberry. And mulberries are fairly infestation free. I don't know of too many insects that like them. They're, some of the bugs come and go and they eat some of the leaves, but nothing major. So we're anxious to research that a little bit more, and we'll give a report on that later.
But they describe them as, I think, lentil-like bugs. And
right. To
me, I think maybe aphids maybe would be a cause of that. That's just a guess that I'm taking. And I remember last year, I haven't seen this problem this year, but on my ash tree last year, I had noticed that the leaves at the ends of the branches were curled up. And then when you opened up the leaves, you saw this fuzz in there. And upon further inspection, there were really fuzzy aphids.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just sucking all the juice out of the leaves.
They are called woolly aphids.
Woolly aphids are
really a big problem. Another problem on pecan trees right now is the black aphid as well. And that'll really attack your leaves. So you need to make sure that you apply an appropriate pesticide on that.
So how would you do that? I mean, would you apply it to their root system and then the tree would take it up? Or how?
The best approach would be a foliar spray directly on the leaves itself. And then like with any edible crop, you want to make sure that whatever you do spray on there, you want to look at a section called days to harvest. We are still with a window where most pesticide application will be safe to apply on edible crops before you take it out of the field. So that's not a problem. But really, that's the secondary pest on pecans at this time of the year is the black aphid. So that's one thing to look out for.
And I think if a lot of people have pests on their trees that might be doing damage to the leaves, at least we are now coming to the end of the growing season. The trees are going to start going dormant. And once those leaves fall off, that problem is essentially gone, right?
Right, exactly. There's no food source for the insect itself. It'll just die or overwinter in a different form. One thing to think about coming into the fall for our high water use plants, such as our willows, it's really a good time right now to start cutting back on the watering on those guys, because as the temperatures continue to decline, I know it's kind of difficult to think about it right now, but those temperatures are going to start declining and stabilizing. You want to cut back on that water on the willows.
I noticed that willows, both the weeping and the globe, that those tend to be really susceptible to, I don't know if it's disease, but they really seem to take maybe excess heat or a pest infestations really, really hard.
They are susceptible to a lot of borers in the main trunk itself. They are high water users. They do grow very rapidly. So in general, the faster the tree grows, the weaker it is, the weaker the wood is. You can also see a lot of chlorosis happening on the willows sometimes. You can
the leaves just turn, turn real yellow early on. They seem to be susceptible to a number of different things. There's an area, subdivision in the Upper Valley called the Willows, and there are a lot of willows to observe out there. They have a corkscrew willow that they just don't look very good right now, because I think they've been infested by various things this summer.
They definitely love the rain, but the new growth just looks chlorotic. You can't tell if it's actually new growth that's generally lighter in color, or if there's some kind of nutritional deficiency on there. So not really the best tree for our area, but people that do have them and established, it's really time to start cutting back on that water.
Well, we are just about out of time, but before we wrap things up, I know it may not be iris season, perhaps. I know there's a particular time of year when you walk into your area nursery and there's irises everywhere, but there is a regional society, the Mesilla Valley Iris Society. They're going to be selling iris rhizomes today and tomorrow at the Mesilla Valley Mall near the theater there. And quickly, before you wrap it up, maybe some people don't know what rhizomes are.
Sure. It's an underground reproductive system of a plant. Rhizomes will contain all of the material to produce a new plant. So what the iris group is doing right now is dividing. Because they grow by rhizomes, they kind of send these out throughout the soil, and then a new plant comes up. So one of the things that they do to reduce that, or kind of allow more space in between their mother plants, is to cut off those offshoots or those rhizomes that are growing underneath the ground. And they pull them up, and then you can certainly transplant them to another location and have the exact same iris off the mother plant.
So it's kind of like a bulb.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
And it's a thinning process that they're going through. They're helping, and then they're sharing the rootstock or the rhizome, so to speak, right now. And they'll know exactly what they are, too, because they're professionals at it. They will tell you exactly what type of iris it is that you're buying.
And I understand they're also going to have pictures there so you can see what it's supposed to look like when it finally comes out. So, again, that's taking place today and tomorrow at the Mesilla Valley Mall, presented by the Mesilla Valley Iris Society. And if you have any questions about your trees, your plants, your lawn, or any pests that may be infesting your trees, grass, or plants, you may want to call the Master Gardener Hotline. They are at 566-1276, 566-1276. And we also have an email link to the Master Gardeners on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Well, thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.